Welcome to the Outdoor Dream Jobs podcast. I'm Allie Carr.
And I'm Jenna Selmer. We run Basecamp, an online community of more than 18,000 outdoor industry insiders who share jobs, industry contacts, and advice. It's really the absolute best place to find jobs that might not be posted anywhere else, including those really important freelance and remote positions right now.
Absolutely. And this week here on the podcast, we are talking to three staffers from Outside Magazine to get the rundown on a handful of job openings that they have there right now or coming up across the editorial and marketing departments. We'll be talking to Abby Wise and Molly Mirasham. Those are two editors there. And their marketing content manager, Brian Smith. All of them are going to be joining us to talk about their experiences of wayfinding the outdoor industry, what it's like to work at Outside, my old stomping grounds. I was there for 6 years as an editor. And then also how to catch their eye when you apply for any of these open positions.
Yep, absolutely stoked that that publication is ramping up their hiring. But first, we have a bunch of great jobs for you. The first one is with Onyx in Bozeman, Montana. If you recall, Onyx creates a lot of maps for the hunting and the off-roading community. And I was recently talking to one of their HR managers, and she directed me to this role. Actually, it's called Product Marketing Specialist. And it's just a really fun, cool marketing role. You're going to actually be looking into the off-road dynamics and maps for this company to get that information to the communities that will resonate most. So fantastic position. And Onyx actually just recently hired somebody from the Basecamp community. So we're super excited to hear that. And this role in Bozeman sounds great.
Yes, so much fun to hear about success stories through Basecamp. It just feeds my soul.
Yes.
So the next job we have is at Peloton. And Jenna and I were just joking that Peloton and Zoom are really the only brands we need in our lives right now. So Peloton is definitely having its heyday. So many people ordering bikes to get through this crazy pandemic. But they are hiring a director of product marketing partnerships and digital distribution. That's a tongue twister. They're looking for somebody with 10 years of experience, and you would basically be navigating how to bring Peloton to life on third-party apps. And think about, like, how does Peloton translate to, like, the Apple Store, for instance, on your smart TV? Or I'm obviously not right for the job because I can't even think of another creative third party, but basically navigating those partnerships. And this position has a lot of responsibility. You'll be negotiating, you know, multi-million dollar deals, etc. So if you're really into Peloton, spinning bikes, and have this type of experience, this could be a really fun job.
Oh yeah, for sure. Garmin is hiring as well. They need a social media strategist for their outdoor category, and they have a ton of products in this area, handhelds and wearables and stuff for dogs even. So it would be a very, very fun role. You're going to be doing all the social media things. Their job listing starts with, do you know how to pronounce algorithm and do you know how to use it to our advantage? So be prepared to be writing, to be strategizing, and to be doing a ton of fun stuff in, oh gosh, how do you say this city? Olathe, Kansas?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, in Kansas, but working for a really cool brand at around a 3-year experience level.
Awesome. Yeah. And I wanted to point out that the Peloton job is actually based in New York City. I failed to mention that. But we have another Midwest job, and that is at Merrill. It's in Rockford, Michigan. And this job is really interesting. It's a color designer job. So you would really be in charge of forecasting the brand's colorways that they would be using in their footwear and other product heading into forthcoming seasons. So you need some trend forecasting knowledge. But this job is actually an entry-level position, 0 to 1 years of experience. So if you're just coming out of design school, this could be a really great position for you to, you know, get some experience and also play with color all day. So it seems like a great job for an entry-level position.
Oh, for sure. Had to add that job because it's so cool to think about such a narrowed down focus in a position. Because I knew that designers created the next clothing lines every year, but I didn't know that somebody was picking out those palettes individually. So cool insight into the industry.
Yeah. Another key job that, like, we just don't hear about, or you wouldn't think about. You wouldn't know it existed.
Yeah. Our next job is with the state of Nevada, and it's a public information officer, which is a really great example of a role that gets you into into the outdoor sphere, but is maybe more of a traditional role and maybe not one that you would think of when you think outdoor industry because it's not with a brand. But this would be with the Department of Wildlife. So you're going to be working with people that get outside, with those public lands. You're going to be outside. You're going to be handling media requests. Actually, this one requires some digital marketing savvy as well, but really marries those professional skills with a love of the outdoors for somebody. And they have a salary range posted, $55,000 to $83,000. I'm sure that's based on experience.
Very cool. And Reno, as we know, is located pretty close to Lake Tahoe. Patagonia actually has a warehouse, their main warehouse there, and some of their other operations happen out of Reno, Nevada. So we know that that's, you know, it may not be a place that you've thought about living before, but if you start looking at it, you'll see it's really close to the mountains.
Nevada, I fly into Vegas for the majority of my outdoor recreation now because you can just rent a car and go up to Utah. You can go to Valley of Fire. You can go over to California. Like, it is a hub.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The last job we have for you today before we get into our conversation with outside is at Copper Mountain. So that's one of the Front Range ski resorts up I-70, about 90 minutes from Denver, Copper Mountain. They're looking for a marketing manager, somebody with about 3 years of experience and, you know, just your kind of awesome marketing role at a ski resort. So you would be working closely with the social media coordinator, content creators, and media agencies to make sure that the story is being told about Copper Mountain in a way that makes everybody want to go there and visit. So that looks like a really fun job. And most ski marketing jobs get you on the hill, you know, at least some of the time. So
yeah. And Copper is a pretty chill mountain. You're in like just this hub of so many ski resorts. So if you like skiing, it's nirvana. But I noticed in this position, a lot of places say, like, you don't have to be a super athlete. It'd be cool if you like skiing, but you don't have to. No, this one is like, you must be able to ski or snowboard all terrain at our resort. So keep that in mind before applying for this one.
Yeah. All right. Let's go talk to outside folks.
Perfect.
So we are here with a couple of editors from Outside Magazine who are going to talk to us about some openings that they have there at the magazine, as well as give us some insight into what it's like to work there. I actually worked at Outside almost a decade ago. Gosh, it's hard for me to even say that because it feels like yesterday to some degree. But yeah, and I'm sure things have changed. When I was there, you know, digital wasn't really at the forefront of the business, or at least, you know, an equal player with the magazine as it is now. So go ahead and introduce yourselves. And we're so excited to have you here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us. We're excited to be here. My name is Abigail Wise, or Abby Wise, and I'm the digital managing director at Outside. So I oversee the website's editorial side, and I wear a lot of hats from editing to management to looking out for like process flow and that kind of thing. And Molly, how are you?
Yeah. And I'm Molly Mirashem. I am our digital deputy editor. So I work closely with Abby on a lot of things. But a big part of my job is overseeing our health coverage on the site in addition to our culture coverage. So I manage a handful of editors on our team, and then I do a lot of story editing and just general site stuff with Abby.
Fabulous. Now, in terms of the business these days, is there a larger editorial staff on digital than there is on print? Or what is it looking like?
You know, I think we've done a really great job over the past handful of years of really merging the two. I don't think that there are any, and if any, very few folks who work on only digital or only print. We all kind of help each other out and edit each other and write stories and edit stories for each side. So it's a super collaborative process these days.
That's very good to hear. Yeah, back in the day, you know, it was very much like church and state. But yeah, that's so cool. Very nice. So Abby, why don't you give us a little bit of background about, you know, where you were before Outside, how you moved into your role there, and, you know, when you came into the outdoor industry?
Sure. This is actually my second stint at Outside. I love it so much that I came back a few years ago, but I initially got my start in the outdoor industry, I would say several years ago, when I was working at the Huffington Post. I was working on their health vertical, and I was very passionate personally about the outdoors. And so I ended up spearheading the launch of their outdoor column, which sadly no longer exists, but it was called Go Rogue. And so that's where I started. And I was in New York media for a while at the Huffington Post and afterwards. And then actually Scott Rosenfield hired me on to run social media at Outside. And that is when I moved to New Mexico. So I worked in audience development at Outside for a while, and I also spearheaded our news section. And then I moved to Adventure Projects, which is like Mountain Project is the most popular app that probably most folks have heard of there. And it was acquired by REI and later folded into REI, which is when I moved back to Outside as the online managing editor. And I've been back ever since.
Fabulous. That's great. And had you been to New Mexico before you moved from New York?
I had not. I moved sight unseen in with two roommates on Craigslist. drove across the country to get always there.
Always a good story there.
That's an adventure itself. Wow.
Yes, I have not lived with roommates since.
Yeah, I think I made the same pilgrimage when I went to Outside, moved from New York without ever having been to New Mexico, and was like very pleasantly surprised. At first, actually, we came in through the south. And if you've ever been to southern New Mexico, you know that it's very flat. There's almost no there are no plants, you know, it's just like open desert. And I was like, oh my gosh, what did I do? And then you start going north and the mountains, you know, come into view and there's lots more plants and it's beautiful. And yeah.
So. Absolutely. I can't imagine living anywhere else. It's home for me now.
Mm-hmm. And Molly, do you want to give us your background a little bit and tell us how you broke in?
Yeah. So I've been at Outside for about 4.5 years now. And it was my first job in the outdoor industry. Prior to that, I was just in regular media. I lived in DC before I moved to Santa Fe. So I was working, I did the sort of year-long fellowship that The Atlantic does, the Atlantic Media Fellowship. And I had moved into a role from that was like more of a permanent job, but the magazine that I was working at there also ended up folding. So I was freelancing for a couple months in DC. And I had written a few pieces for Outside, and I kind of didn't know what I wanted to do. And then Outside had an entry-level sort of editorial assistant job open right around the time where I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And I just felt like I had to apply for it because I loved working on the stories that I'd written for the site. And I had a couple friends who lived in Santa Fe and like knew the Outside folks and had only great stuff to say. So I threw my hat in for that and ended up getting it. And then I also made drive from the East Coast to Santa Fe. And yeah, I lived in Santa Fe for basically the first half of the time that I've been at Outside. And then I moved to New York like 2.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm. And do you have any tips on convincing, this was before COVID, any tips on convincing your employers to let you work remotely? I know that's a hard sell at Outside.
It is. Yeah. I guess I didn't give sort of the overview of, so when I first started Outside, I was in an entry level position, like I said, and I sort of moved into a handful of different roles by the time I ended up moving to New York. So by the time I moved, I was in a position where I was basically running our health section on the site and in the print magazine. And honestly, like the reason I needed to move was like a personal, like my partner got a job in New York. And I think just because of the fact that I'd been in the Santa Fe office for like several years and I really wanted to stay and I really loved the work that I was doing and it wasn't sort of like me doing a half exit, I think I made a convincing case that I really wanted to stay on board and that it just wasn't really going to be an option for me to stay if I couldn't be remote. But I definitely had no idea how it would go over because the office is a big part of the appeal for us on the Outside staff. Like it's a really great community in the Santa Fe office and we just don't have very many other editors who aren't based there. So I think we definitely are like trying to keep the team in Santa Fe. So it can be hard to make the case to go out to another city for sure.
I will add to that. I mean, Molly is one of the strongest managers we have and she is such a strong communicator that I think that alleviated some of the concerns that might have come with remote work. Like we know Molly is always checking in and I mean, Molly and I talk like all day, every day, even though we're in different places. So anyways, I wanted to add that.
Yeah. So some good tips there that being a strong communicative team player can really help your case if you want to work remotely. Again, we're sort of talking non-COVID times or it seems like a lot of jobs are actually potentially going back to offices soon, which doesn't actually line up with the way that the curve is going, but as far as what Jenna and I are seeing, we're not seeing a lot of remote jobs these days. So yeah, being in communication and kind of crystal clear on where you are, what you're working on, what you're doing are good tips for being able to work remotely in your position. Jenna, do you have any questions about kind of the transition into the outdoor industry?
No, but there was some teasing about what outside is like to work for. And I think it's so neat that you both worked for more traditional publications before you went to outside. So you can make a cool contrast between what sets outside apart as a workplace. And I'd love to know more about what you love there and really what makes it different.
Yeah, well, I think during non-pandemic times, outside is really, it's like a big family. I mean, there are people who worked at outside 10 years ago who still come to like the outside gatherings. It's a really tight-knit community. And it, I mean, we all work similar to many publications in the outdoor industry. We work in this industry because we personally love these sports. We love the work that we do. And so, you know, people will do Dawn Patrol during ski season, and people go for lunch runs together, and it's just a super fun environment to work in, I think. But it's also filled with super, super smart, super motivated, driven people who inspire me personally to do more and work harder. And yeah, it's a great group of people to work with.
Yeah, I agree with all of that. I feel like for me, coming from sort of the DC media scene, which was like not a place that I wanted to stay in for a long time, it was just a huge contrast to come into a place where it's just like not a competitive environment. Like everyone in the office is really friendly and like wants to hang out and do outdoor stuff together in addition to being really good at their jobs and producing great journalism. So I think just like the attitude of everyone sort of being on the same team stands out to me in the context of some other sort of like non-outdoor media. But then also I think before I came, like when I first got the job at Outside and before I started, I think I had this vision that every person on staff was going to be like an intimidating super athlete, and that like if you weren't an expert at every sport, it would be like not the place for you. And I'm so happy that that's not how it is. Like we definitely have a handful of people who are intimidatingly good at every sport, but for the most part, people are just excited to be outside and try new stuff and teach people who are on staff how to do things that they are new at. So I think it's a pretty unique environment.
Okay, awesome. I mean, that mirrors the industry or just the outdoors generally, right? Because a lot of people are intimidated thinking that they have to be super good at something or a world-class athlete to be considered outdoorsy. And absolutely not. And I know that your publication also loves to send that message. So I think it's cool that it also is mirrored in your actual employee base. And then just to tack onto that, can you tell us about some of the efforts you've made to make sure that your workforce is diverse and there's equity both at Outside Magazine and in the industry? I know that you're really proud of your efforts.
We are. We still have a lot of work to do, but I'm proud of the progress that we've made so far. We actually recently launched our first internal DEI committee, which Molly is on. And so I'd love to pass the mic to Molly to talk about some of our specific efforts in terms of getting more BIPOC writers and photographers and subjects in our publication.
Yeah, I would say, like Abby said, the committee sort of just got off the ground, and we basically, the thinking with making it was making sure that we were having a nice mix of people from within the editorial side of the company. So it's just a range of seniority levels and a range of like making sure there are people from the audience team and people from the research team and from art and all that, so that we can sort of make sure we're getting a holistic picture of all of the ways that we still need to improve for the most part. But a lot of our initial efforts have focused on representation in terms of the stories that we publish and the people who write for us. We've sort of been breaking that down in a bunch of different ways, but we've developed a bunch of tracking systems to just make sure we're being really honest with ourselves and transparent internally with what our contributors look like, what the story subjects that we are covering look like, what just the imagery that we put out on the site and in the magazine looks like, and just making sure that we're striving to have that be as representative as possible of what the real demographics, both in the country and in the outdoor industry, look like. So most of the initial work has focused on that, and we've definitely started to talk about what we want our hiring practices to look like too, just because that is a huge part of it also. But I would say in terms of like outside and looking at more of the rest of the industry. I think we've seen that publishing and like elevating the voices of people in the outdoor industry who are people of color, a lot of them are athletes, but not always, but people like Kai Leitner and Aisha McGowan and Allison Desir, and like having those people bring their opinions to our platform and basically call out the industry on their terms and give them the platform to basically be like, this is what we think the outdoor industry should be doing to improve. That has been a huge part of it for us right now, just because obviously people like Kai and Allison, they have their own platforms that are huge, but they just reach a totally different audience when we're able to get them on the website speaking to our readers directly. And I think that we know that the rest of the industry pays attention when we do that, and we can drive the conversation forward in that way.
And one thing I would add to that we've been talking about a lot is we're super excited about the types of stories that Molly just mentioned. And we also want to be sure that these relationships that we're forming with, you know, whether athletes or writers, we are forming long-lasting relationships so that we have a more diverse group of folks to go to when we have a story idea, whether it's about diversity or not, you know, just diversifying our pool of writers, our pool of photographers, and our pool of resources in general.
Definitely. Yeah. I think that's hugely important and something we've talked about a lot internally, just to make sure that like we are being aware of the fact that like we need a diverse pool of writers covering every single subject that we publish stories about.
So in thinking about your hiring practices and types of people that you're looking to hire in the future, can you talk a little bit about what skills really lend themselves well to working at Outside Magazine? I know that both of you come from traditional journalism backgrounds to some degree, I'm myself included, and probably a lot of people on the staff there started that way and didn't necessarily start in the outdoor industry. So kind of talk about what are some transferable skills that someone might have to get their foot in the door there.
Totally. I'm glad that you brought that up, because we've been having a lot of recent conversations with the DEI committee and the hiring managers thinking about how we can position our job openings to make it clear that, yes, you know, we would love to welcome people who have a background in media, but we would also like to welcome people who are motivated and creative and curious and passionate about exploring the outdoors and diversifying the outdoors with us. And so like one small thing that we've been talking about that came directly from the DEI committee was putting more of those characteristics and those types of qualifications first, instead of only prioritizing, you know, 3 years of editing experience.
And do you expect that will translate into an editorial role, or are you thinking of that more kind of holistically throughout the company? What does that look like?
Yes, I think our hope, our goal is that it does translate editorially and throughout the company. Uh-huh. You know, we also have been putting a lot of groundwork into where we are posting job listings, as well as individual outreach. Instead of just listing something on LinkedIn, we're actually doing a lot of groundwork to reach out to folks directly who we are interested in working with, you know, whether we've read their work or we've seen them on social media doing cool stuff. So that's another way. Molly, is there anything I'm missing?
No, I would definitely say, like, in the context of diversity and inclusion with our hiring, I would echo what Abby was saying, where a big part of it for us at this stage has just been making sure that we're just being more diligent about outreach, both like targeted outreach, like Abby was just saying, but also just thinking more broadly about where we post the jobs that we post so that they're getting in front of a diverse range of candidates. But in the context of just hiring in general and the types of skills that we're looking for, I think another conversation we've been having a lot recently is like how to weigh people's experience and passion for media and journalism compared to their experience and passion for the outdoors and like specific outdoor activities. And I think we've definitely gotten a lot more, which I think is a positive thing, I think we've gotten a lot more open to the fact that like we can hire people who have a wide range of media experience, who aren't necessarily like gearheads who grew up like buying expensive stuff and going to national parks all the time, as long as like the passion for the storytelling and the media side of it, I think, is something that we're looking for more so than someone who's been like specifically steeped in outdoor culture for a long time, just because we know that can be a hard thing and not always like an inclusive environment for everyone. And I think especially like we have a lot of people on staff who've come from media in outside of the outdoor industry. And so like recognizing that people can develop passions for the outdoors and specific outdoor sports once they come to outside, but as long as they have that foundation of like being excited for the types of stories that we're telling and being passionate about editing and finding new writers and bringing new ideas, that's really what we're looking for more than only the outdoor experience part.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is pretty easy to pick up a lot of those, you know, outdoor sports once you're living in Santa Fe and the base, you know, the base of the Sangre de Cristo Mountains, and you have
surrounded people by passionate people everywhere who are dying to teach you things. Yeah,
absolutely. Totally. Your repertoire grows exponentially.
Yeah. That sounds actually the best way to learn most sports, in my opinion. So anyone who's like in journalism and is maybe intrigued by the outdoors might be an amazing candidate. And can you tell us about the positions that you have open right now?
We are looking for an editor to lead our culture section on the website. I mean, it's basically a dream job. I think that we have columns about food in the outdoors, relationships, parenting, and it's also the home of a lot of our coverage about identity and inclusivity and diversity in the outdoors. And so we're looking for someone for that job who is excited and passionate about those things and has diverse interests, and ideally is an experienced editor who can work on sort of a wide range of story formats, because the job is, like, part of it is just editing sort of shorter column stories that are not usually like super rigorous editing, but then it ranges to, you could be working on reported features for the site or for the print magazine. It might eventually grow into a role that involves directly managing other editors on our staff. And basically the way that our site is set up is there's sort of a lead editor for each online channel. And right now we don't have a person who's leading the culture section. So it really is an opportunity for someone to come in and set sort of the editorial vision of what we want to do with that area of our coverage. It's a great opportunity.
That is a great opportunity. And I would say that also, just as a parent who is in the outdoors and kind of seeing that group of people kind of starting to emerge in the industry as well, that's also kind of a marginalized group of people, not obviously in the same way as, you know, BIPOC or anything like that, but it hasn't been fully recognized. And there is, you know, you can't like live this fully outdoor lifestyle when you have kids, or it just looks different. And that hasn't been represented necessarily across outdoor media. So that's also an interesting channel that you guys are. And I know Katie Arnold has done such an amazing job with her column there when she was writing it.
Yeah. We've been trying to, Katie has done a great job with, she's been writing for that for such a long time. And we've brought on some other contributors recently to sort of just round out having a handful of other columnists in that section. But I definitely agree that there's a lot to cover in the context of parenting the outdoors that we have only sort of scratched the surface of.
We also have some other openings. We have an assistant video producer opening right now, which would report directly to Jackson, who spearheads our video team. This person would do everything from working with filmmaker outreach to find videos that we could curate and host on the site, to actually shooting and editing and producing our own outside original films. We have a lot of big, ambitious goals for ongoing series within the video channel, as well as doing some like shorter kind of outdoor adventure-y film things as well. So there's really a lot of room to grow and create and be really creative about what we want to do with the video channel right now. So I think it's a really, really cool and exciting time to jump onto that team.
Yeah, that sounds like a foot in the door for sure.
Totally. Wow.
Molly, the other position that was like a mid-level, or how many years of experience?
I think whether we hire it as an associate editor or a senior editor will sort of depend on the experience in the candidate pool. People who have held that role in the past have had either the associate editor title or the senior editor title. So the listing right now is we're targeting 3 years of editing experience. But like Abby said, we are also like open to different forms of what that experience might look like. So 3 years is the target, but if you're interested and you're thinking about applying, you should apply.
Okay, great to know. Perfect. And then for both or either of those roles, how could somebody get your attention right away during the application process?
That's a good question. I think for us, a lot of what we look at is the cover letter and the resume, but I think the cover letter is a really great place to kind of tell your story and explain your excitement and interest in working for outside. I know for me personally, when I get an email about, you know, why someone really feels passionate about working for us specifically in that role, I think that's super helpful. So just thinking carefully about the job responsibilities that are listed under the job description and thinking about how you can really get excited about those personally and how they feed into your own experience, I think is really vital to getting our attention, as well as thinking, I mean, for something like the culture role specifically, it's like Molly said, we don't have anyone leading that right now, technically. And so we're really looking for someone with big ambition, big dreams, and someone who's ready to kind of like shake things up and rethink how we're doing things. And I think the same is true with the video position as well.
Yeah, I would add for the culture job, I think with the hiring that I am doing for that role, I'm really looking for someone who's has a deep familiarity with the coverage that we do in that section and has a lot of ideas for how they would want to grow and improve and change it. I think, like I was saying, there are sort of a lot of different topics that we cover in that section. And I think a lot of those areas have a lot of potential that we haven't totally tapped into because we've been understaffed or we like haven't had someone leading that section. And I think just having someone who is able in their materials to sort of articulate that they are deeply familiar with the type of stories that we do there and have lots of ideas for like new writers they might want to bring on or like how they would change the things that we're doing in that section, I think definitely gets my attention when I'm reading someone's application.
Okay, perfect. And then do you go and do some research on candidates anywhere? Like, will you go to their LinkedIn or will you go to their personal website, anything like that?
I think it depends. I don't do that at the beginning stages. That's a good question. I think it kind of depends. I definitely don't like go deep on looking beyond people's materials in the beginning stages, I would say. I don't know if you feel differently, Abby.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think unless it's someone who we're reaching out to directly, like I was talking about before, doing some of that initial outreach that we're trying, the targeted outreach that we're trying to focus on now, unless we're doing that, no, I don't. In the early stages, I do not do a lot of like online stalking of someone. But I think every single job posting that we have right now, and there's a fellowship I want to mention as well that's going to be opening soon, but every single job opening gets, before the interview stage, is an edit test. And so I think for me personally, and I think a lot of the hiring managers wait until those edit tests come in to really see, you know, how folks perform on those and who might be a good fit, just because it's kind of a level playing field for people. And then that's a fair gauge, we think, of who might be a good fit.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think I would just add too, like I will definitely look at someone's like personal website and how they present themselves on their website when they're not specifically applying to an outside job, if they're at the stage of like interviewing or an edit test. But I think when it's the very early stages, I tend to go based on the materials that they've submitted.
Anything that might signify that a candidate is not a good fit right away.
Don't call us Outdoor Magazine.
That's an ongoing effort.
No, but in all seriousness, I do think it's important that you do your research, you know, like you would do for any job, really. Read our stuff and show us that you're excited about us and why you want to work for us and what you can bring to the table. I think that if we get more of a generic cover letter that could really be copy-pasted to any publication, I'm less excited by those. I'm more excited by, you know, specific ideas or citing specific stories that someone was excited about. Yeah, just knowing our brand is really important, I think.
Yeah, I would say the same thing. I think just like that type of enthusiasm is hard to fake. And I think it's really, I mean, anyone who's done hiring, I think knows like it's pretty easy to see through it when someone's like trying to pretend that they're a big fan, but they're not super familiar with what you do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's just the biggest thing that makes me immediately feel like someone's not going to be a fit. Because I think also there's a way too to like own the fact that maybe you're a big fan of outside, but you like don't know a lot about our culture coverage or something. And I think being open and straightforward about maybe why you might be an unconventional applicant, I think that is not an immediate no for me. But I think pretending that you're a big fan and that like you're being earnest in your enthusiasm when it's not earnest, I think is definitely a red flag for me.
That's a great little tip. Anything else to add to that conversation?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's basically it. I think we're pretty open with who we consider, and I think we're more open now than we ever have been before. So it's a really, really great time to apply to work with us.
Awesome. And what's the best way for people to apply? Is it through the website? Should they be, you know, trying to nudge you on LinkedIn?
No, please don't nudge us on LinkedIn. We have a careers page on our website where we post all of our job listings. That's definitely the most up-to-date and current spot to look for what's available right now. Every single job listing there has very specific instructions about how to apply for a job. So we usually have a hiring point person for each position, and you know, some job descriptions will be as specific as like include this phrasing in the subject line. So just read the job descriptions on our career page thoroughly, and enough information should be there, I think.
I'd add one thing too, which is like, I think one nice thing about applying for jobs at Outside is that we have, like, all of our applications go to a real editor on staff's inbox. And so everyone's application is getting looked at. I think sometimes it can feel like you're sending your application like into the void when you apply on like some portal on like a big media company's website. So I think if people are applying and they're anxious that someone hasn't looked, like, you can rest assured that someone's looked at it. And I think it's okay to like send a brief follow-up if you haven't heard anything after several weeks, but otherwise following up on LinkedIn or Twitter or like sending me a message saying like, by the way, I applied to this, is generally not the best way to get our attention.
Thanks for clarifying that, because it's difficult to navigate, especially in the job hunt. You already have a bit of anxiety associated. So it's really great to know where you stand, because every company is different with that.
Totally. And I also just wanted to add, because you mentioned there is often so much anxiety when applying for jobs, and I can totally relate to that on a very personal level. And so I just wanted to say, like, please bear with us if we take a little while to get back to you. I feel like the job hunt for a new person always takes longer on the employer side than I anticipate. So, you know, I'll say like, oh yes, we can totally have someone, you know, make an offer for that open position in 2 months, and then it'll take more like 3 or 4. So please bear with us, and don't assume the worst if we're a little late in getting back to you.
Anything else you'd like to add that we didn't prompt or get to cover?
I wanted to talk a little bit about the fellowship that's going to be opening up soon.
Oh, that's right. Yes, please.
Yeah, so it's our 6-month editorial fellowship program, and it's been going on for years, but we had to halt it for a little bit due to COVID-19 and the pandemic, but we're planning to open it up again very soon, like probably as soon as next week or the following. And it's a 6-month paid fellowship that is a really great way to get your foot in the door and kind of learn about Outside's editorial processes. We have also been told that we might be considering remote candidates for that in the future. So that's, you know, one benefit fit there. Again, it's 6 months long, it's paid, and it is a lot of fact-checking work, but also sitting in on channel pitch meetings, so you get a really good inside view into like what goes into an Outside story and which pitches we approve and which ones we don't. There might be some production work that happens there. So building stories, looking for stock and art. And basically, I mean, fellows who are excited about writing, we've had them, a lot of fellows historically do quick news hit write-ups for us. So there's really a lot of wiggle room to make that fellowship what you want it to be after the research and fact check component.
And I'll just add there, I mean, I did the Outside internship. It used to be an internship before it was a fellowship, but back in the day, still 6 months long at the time. And it was one of the best internships that I'd ever done in terms of, you know, the ability to actually learn on the job, learning hard skills. And a lot of people came into the internship with some editorial experience. Some people were, you know, in their 40s. I mean, it was a great way to get your foot in the door at Outside. I know a lot of people don't want to necessarily consider a fellowship at that stage in their career, but it is one way to get into the magazine. So something to consider.
Totally. Totally. And what I really like about our fellowship program, I mean, I did fellowships at like Time Out Chicago, which sadly no longer exists, and a couple bigger places back in the day. And, you know, it was a lot of fact check work, and it was a lot of kind of staying to yourself and, you know, keeping your head down, doing your job. And what I really like about our fellowship program is that you have the opportunity to work with some of our most senior editors. You might work with like Alex Hurd, who is just an amazing, amazing editor who has decades of experience. And it's, you know, when we're not in pandemic times, you can literally go and like knock on Chris Kai's door and have a chat with him. And I think we're just really open, and it's a really great opportunity to work with more senior folks at our company as well.
I did just want to add too, on the note of just the general openings we have, like if you're listening to this and you're thinking about applying but you're not sure, like we really would encourage you to apply, because we also sometimes look to the pools of candidates that we didn't hire for old jobs when we have a new role open up. So it's just a good way to like get on our radar if you feel like you really are excited about working outside, but like maybe you feel like you have a little too little experience or something. I do think it's worth just getting your materials in so that we can at least take a look at your stuff.
Ladies, thank you so much for this interview. Very illuminating. Outside sounds like a wonderful place to work, both because Santa Fe sounds so cool, but the culture there just sounds magnificent. So thank you for giving us an inside look at it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
And folks, don't go just yet. We're going to hop over into an interview with Brian Smith. He has a whole nother role with Outside Magazine in their marketing department, which is well worth hearing about. Brian, can you introduce yourself and your role at Outside?
Yeah, I'm Brian Smith. I'm the content marketing manager at Outside, which means that I help our marketing team create lots of sponsored and branded content across all of our platforms for our advertising partners.
Yeah, how long have you been at Outside?
Going on 2 years. It'll be 2 years in February of 21.
Used to be at Rigor. That's right.
That's right.
I know
you. That is the same Brian Smith. There are a lot of us out there in the world. But
so how are you? You've been there 2 years now. You kind of came from the PR world. How have you been liking working at Outside? How's the transition been to working in marketing there?
It's been pretty seamless because, yeah, I was in the PR world for just a short stint, just about a year, actually. And prior to that, I had been working more in like a hybrid editorial and marketing job as well. So I actually worked with Abby Wise, who you spoke with earlier, back at REI Adventure Projects, where we were kind of heading up separate channels for the Adventure Projects journals, which were their kind of editorial outlet. So yeah, I worked there in more of an editorial capacity, then went to PR. And so in this role, it really, again, kind of combines those two things, both marketing and editorial, because I'm essentially the assigning editor for all of the sponsored articles at Outside.
Nice. That sounds like a pretty sweet gig. And you're working with Sam Moulton, who we know and love.
Yep. And that's a major perk of the job. Sam's great. And as you guys know, he came from the edit side as well. He was at one point, I believe, the executive editor of the buyer's guides at Outside. And so he brings kind of a wealth of storytelling and creative knowledge to the marketing department.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now, tell us a little bit how you got into the outdoor industry initially. How did you wind up at Adventure Projects?
I mean, it was probably equal parts luck and happenstance, really. Like, I applied for an internship with the International Mountain Bicycling Association, which is based in Boulder, when I was wrapping up my undergrad. So at that point in time, when I went to go do that internship, IMBA, as it's known, had a partnership with Mountain Bike Project, which is one of the Adventure Project sites. And so I was kind of helping IMBA manage that partnership and help them basically bring that site up to speed in terms of getting more content about different trails. And so without talking on too long about that, I mean, basically, I met the folks behind Adventure Projects, started working for them part-time when they were getting ready to launch a few other websites that also catered to kind of different user groups in the outdoors and helping them find trails and all that stuff. And eventually, in that process, I ended up working for them full-time. And shortly thereafter, REI came in and acquired the company. So all of a sudden I was, you know, overnight an REI employee. So that's kind of, it's a weird, roundabout, circuitous way to become an employee of REI's headquarters, but that's how it happened.
Very cool. So tell us a little bit about, you know, what has been your favorite memory of working Outside to date? I mean, you've been there 2 years. Some of that has been during COVID, which is challenging.
Sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, prior to that, or maybe it was during COVID. I don't know. Give us your...
Yeah, I mean, there's been lots of fun stuff. So part of my role is not only assigning and editing written sponsored content, but also producing custom video that we create with clients. And so that's been a really fun learning experience. I don't have really any video production background, but really what it boils down to is kind of applying a the same type of like creative lens that you would to an article. And then also with an added layer of project management and trying to make sure that, you know, the core video production team and the clients and the agencies are all on the same page. So that's been a really fun process learning that. And I've created some, you know, like we did a year long content series for Under Armour this past year called The Year of Running. That had, I think, 12 kind of social first videos, like short social optimized videos. And so working with a really like kind of high functioning video production crew out of LA, it was really exciting and fun to kind of bring those ideas all the way through, you know, the initial concepting phase with the client to, you know, what we're putting out across all of Outside's platforms.
So cool. Yeah, it sounds like a really, really fun job getting to make different types of content, written, video. That sounds awesome. Cool that they're, you know, giving you the authority to work on video projects when you don't have that background, because then you can learn those skills and kind of grow your skill set on the job, which is so great.
And you're hiring, Brian.
Yeah.
Correct?
We are hiring, yeah.
Tell us about that, please.
Yeah, of course. So, I mean, the marketing team is in need at this point of some more hands on deck. You know, one great thing is that we've got a lot of business right now, but that means that our small team is working a little bit overtime right now, as is the case with, I think, a lot of companies. So yeah, we're looking for a marketing coordinator to come in and join. It's not an entry level role, but definitely someone who maybe is junior in their career and looking to kind of take the next step and start to gain more experience and more skills. You know, similar to how I described my role, this new role will wear a lot of hats for sure. Principal among those, though, would be, you know, kind of being like the air traffic controller for our department. So helping manage all of the communications with the various clients and agencies that we interface with on a day-to-day basis to, you know, whether that's on the RFP process when we're trying to win business, or then once we, you know, have partnered with a brand and we're putting together a big campaign, helping make sure that everybody's on the same page with deadlines and deliverables and all that. So this person would really kind of be our main point of contact at the helm and making sure that these campaigns are able to go off without a hitch.
It almost sounds like an account coordinator for a PR firm a little bit.
Yeah, it's similar. I think, you know, I could definitely see us making a hire from, you know, somebody with lots of agency side background. And that's certainly a valuable skill set that will contribute to someone being successful in this role. Ultimately, like, they need to have the right client touch, but also not shy away from enforcing deadlines, whether that's with clients or agencies or us internally on the marketing team. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes that looks like sending me 100 Slacks a day to remind me to send through the final copy or whatever it is. So yeah, this person really is going to need kind of a high level of organizational and communication skills. And certainly coming from an agency would bode well in that regard.
Yeah, that sounds super fun. It sounds like you're going to be talking to a lot of different people, making a lot of connections and networking a lot just by virtue of your role, which is super intriguing also.
Yeah, I think that's definitely could fall in the benefit category for this role is, you know, you will have high visibility with oftentimes really large companies and you'll get to see kind of the inner workings essentially of how these large kind of multi-platform advertising campaigns come to life. So to me, that's a super big bonus is in terms of like professional and career development. It's not often that you interface with like the CMO at a, you know, multinational brand at the coordinator level, if that makes sense. So
right.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of skills and kind of experience to be gained in that regard.
And aside from finesse with client relations, is there any traits or skills that you're looking for in particular?
Yeah, I mean, chief among those is definitely organization. I think I keep saying that, but that's because it's so incredibly important. Every day here is an adventure, and there are always, I'd say, multiple to tens of deliverables and things that need to get done on a daily basis. And there's always, you know, new requests coming in the door. So that'd probably be the number one thing I'd hit on. You know, secondly, you know, in addition to that kind of communication and organization would be just the ability to like synthesize and be concise while, you know, also conveying what needs to be conveyed, whether that's client communications or internally or, you know, quickly hashing out some social copy for a campaign, something like that. So we do look for somebody with strong writing skills, not just for the communication side, but also to contribute in terms of campaign deliverables.
Okay, well, that's fun. So there is a little bit of creativity in the midst of the project management aspects.
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. So, you know, day to day, we, like I said, we've got lots of campaigns running at any given time, and this person will manage whether directly through actually creating some social and promotional copy for these campaigns, but also potentially kind of overseeing either a contractor in some cases, you know, the creation of that content. So yes, there is kind of, I don't want to say equal parts project management and creativity, but creativity is certainly important.
So what's the best way for someone to apply for this role? Would it be through the website? Are you interested in having people reach out to you directly? Give us the rundown.
Any and all of the above, really. The careers page on our website has the full job description. You can also find it on LinkedIn or in the next edition of the Basecamp newsletter. Yep. Or you can reach out to me. My information is on the job posting, or it's just bsmith@outsideim.com. Just shoot me your cover letter and resume and be happy to take a look.
Perfect. And Brian, anything that you wanted to add that we didn't prompt from you?
No, I think we kind of hit it. Like I said, this is a job for somebody with a couple years of experience. So, you know, already under their belt, but somebody that's hungry and ready to learn and grow more. I just want to make sure that's clear.
Absolutely. It sounds like an incredibly fun role. I'm going to pass it on to a couple of people that I know. What, and sorry, it's cool. Remote for now, but you are expecting that person to move to New Mexico soon.
Yeah, I'm cautious to put a date on that, yeah, just because we don't know what's going on in the world. But yeah, for now, I mean, you know, most of our team is operating in a fully remote capacity. Eventually, though, we do want to get back to a place where the team is together in the office. So yeah, it will be a requirement to be Santa Fe based if and when this pandemic ever loosens its grip on our society.
Ah, yes, well said. All right. Well, Brian, thank you so much for helping us dig into this position. Sounds like an absolute dream role. And yeah, really excited to talk to you and hope you get a ton of great apps.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for chatting with me about it. Appreciate it.
Another thanks to Brian, Molly, and Abby for their incredible insight on what it's like to work at Outside and giving us some insider looks at what those new positions might be like and how to get your best application in. Thanks so much for listening as well. If you have any questions about Outdoor Dream Jobs, the Basecamp community and newsletter, or the hiring from Outside, go to outdoordreamjobs.com. Our show notes will have all of that information for you, and we're happy to answer your questions via the email and that little blurb that we've provided. Love hearing from our listeners. Next week, we have an amazing interview from the American Hiking Society, who is really ramping up their hiring as well. They're going from 6 employees to 8. Super exciting. So please join us then on December 1st, and everyone have an amazing Thanksgiving.